Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
As I continue with my sermon on the Olivet Discourse, I'll pick up where I left off discussing the second parable, the days of Noah. A quick review. The Olivet Discourse is a sermon that Jesus preached to his disciples upon the Mount of Olives at the end of his earthly ministry. This discourse by Jesus was preached to put all the disciples of Christ throughout the last two millenniums, the dispensation of grace, on notice that he is coming back and that they need to be ready for his return. He admonishes that believers need to make preparations and be alert for his return, and he cautions that some believers will be careless. Today's sermon picks up with me preaching this message in my pulpit a month ago. I review at first the whole discourse and then zero in on the parable of the days of Noah. Different aspects of Jesus' discourse addresses specific events, targeting specific groups. That is why I subtitled this sermon, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God."
It says in Matthew 25:36, and if you remember, Dr. Dixon preached the message here when he was still alive, preached the message here about Harold Camping preaching that message, and because he had a radio station, then they had a shortwave radio station, their radio waves went all around the earth. And then there was a group in North Korea, no, North Vietnam. I'm going to say maybe they were the Huns people or something like that, if I'm correct. But they had been listening to his radio program in their language through shortwave radio, and they believed what he said, and they went to a mountaintop, and North Vietnam is still a communist country. Is still a communist country. And they were slaughtered. They thought they didn't have much education. They didn't have much access to the Word of God. But they were able to get shortwave radios and listen. And Jesus did not come. And that their blood is going to be on Harold Camping's head. Their blood. Because he made a prediction of when Jesus is going to return. Do you understand how serious that is? Dr. Dixon had a good understanding and feel of all those groups, many groups and men who have predicted the return of the Lord. And so the Bible says there in Matthew 36, but that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus told his disciples a second time that no one knows the hour of his return. Just before he ascended into the clouds in the book of Acts, before the day of Pentecost, it says here, when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. So not even Jesus knows, but the Father knows when the time of his return will be. Page 11 in your notes, the flood of Noah's day came suddenly. The flood of Noah's day came suddenly, but not without ample warning. Noah preached, but Noah was only able to save his own household. A world of people, possibly creation scientists, estimate that there could have easily been 6 billion people on the face of the earth. How old was Noah when he got into the ark? 600 years old. 600 years old. So, infant mortality was low, and people lived a long time. Okay? So it easily could have populated very quickly. The world, a world of people, possibly 6 billion people, ignored the pending wrath and went about their normal business without a concern in the world. Bible says here in the book of Hebrews, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so he preached. They would not listen. It tells us in 2 Peter, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So he was a preacher of righteousness. And he's building this ark. They never had rain. Can you imagine that? Not having rain? The whole world was different. No rain. No rain, no boats. I wonder if they even had boats. Because, and you need to talk to Wes, those of you who go to our Bible study know Wes. This is something he really, really studies. He's got a civil engineering degree, and something that he finds fascinating in his scope of study is, and you have to understand, all the continents were together. One big continent. One big mass of Earth. All the continents. And he's got drawings after drawings of showing you how the continents split and they spun and went off in different directions. But even in the worldly, I did a whole report based on the New York Times article, huge article in New York Times back in the 70s, on the continental drift. How many heard that in school? The continental drift. And the continents drifting apart. Well, when that flood took place, there was water under the earth, huge amounts of water under the mantle. And before in creation, we see on the second day that the earth is divided. There's water above the earth and there's water on the earth. And there was a huge, huge water canopy around the earth that shielded the people from radiation. That's one reason they lived a lot longer. What do we love to get? Lots of that stuff outside there. Don't we love that sunshine? And what happens to us? We get cancer, skin cancer. We have, and life is shortened because of the radiation of the sun. But because of the water vapor around the earth, it absorbed a lot of that radiation and protected the earth. And that was one of the reasons that man lived a lot longer before the flood. So the whole atmosphere, the whole the whole earth changed shape and form. And so the where it talks about, well, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. And really, I wanted to look in chapter 7, but that's the beginning. Chapter 6 is the beginning of the story of Noah. And God tells him to build a ark, gives him the dimensions. In verse 1 of chapter 7 in the book of Genesis, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. There's a different use of the word generation in this, in the age, in the generation of those who are living. Now remember, he's 600 years old. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven. So all the clean beasts, he had to have seven of them, male and female. And then two by two of the non-clean, male and female. Then it says, verse 4, chapter 7 of the book of Genesis, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days, and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was what? There it is, 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Then let's jump down to verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the water of the floods were upon the earth. That's an interesting thing. God shut them all up into the ark and then didn't start the flood for 7 days. Then it says in verse 11, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Now, how many are understand that the largest mountain range is not on the continents? It's in the ocean. The largest mountain range in the world is in the ocean. Deep, deep down in the ocean, it's called the Atlantic, Mid-Atlantic Ridge. It goes from the North Pole all the way down to the South Pole. Way down there. There's volcanic activity going on down there. Some scientists have said that we know more about the surface of the moon than we know about the bottom of the ocean, especially at those kind of depths. And you look at how that conforms to the shape of Europe and Africa and United States and South America and how it's split right there. And so it says, and the fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows of heaven were open and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It tells us in verse 16 that God closed the door of the ark. The finger of God closed the door of the ark. There's a parallel there. So, Jesus returned to the earth. Back to your notes. Jesus' return to the earth is imminent, but not without 4,000 years of warning by the many saints that God raised up both in the age of grace and in the Old Testament age of law. So you have the prophets warning of the return of the Lord, and you have the New Testament preachers and writers warning about the return of the Lord. The moral signs of the approaching end times will be quite similar to the days of Noah. In Genesis 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What do you think the Lord sees when he looks upon the earth today? Same thing. So as we read in the Olivet Discourse, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus used the events of Noah as a sign of his first advent, signifying his death. Jesus used the events of Jonah, as a sign of his first advent, signifying his death, burial, and resurrection. We studied that. And he uses the flood of Noah's day as a sign of his second advent, his second coming. Jesus is now the church's Noah, meaning rest, or given of rest. Noah's name means rest, or giver of rest. Jesus is now the church's Noah. His ark of escape is his pavilion in the clouds, while the figurative floodwaters of judgment wash over the inhabitants of the earth through the plagues of the great tribulation. Did you catch that? Did that make sense? So we're going to ride out just as Noah rode out the storm in the ark. The faithful saints are going to ride out the storm in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. But the other parables, as we get to them, the warning about being ready to get on board that ark is very important. The pre-trib rapture is a picture of entering into the ark like Noah and his family did, along with the animal. The pre-tribulation rapture is a picture of entering into the ark like Noah and his family did, along with the animal. The door of Noah's ark is shut by God. So is the door of the rapture, which is only open to the watchful saints. Now, I give you there in your notes, in top of page 12, a little picture of the parable of the 10 virgins. But listen to what it says here. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. So all the parables after this, after Noah, up to the parable of the talents, is talking about being ready. Key word there, ready. Ready to board the ark of salvation, in a sense, from the tribulation that will come upon the earth. Luke recorded these following words of exhortation by Jesus at the Olivet Discourse. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, an archaic word that we don't use in our vocabulary today, the act of feeding to excess, gluttony, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day came upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Do you see that warning? That's to you and I. To be ready. Not to be overcharged with gluttony and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware. Guess what? Once the pre-tribulation rapture takes place, this verse won't be preached anymore. This verse won't be preached anymore. It won't apply to you. Now the people have to deal with not taking the mark of the beast, those who live in the tribulation, and living for Jesus and trusting for him, trusting in him, because they're going to soon be dead. You're still going to lose your head. I could pulpits after pulpits after pulpits could preach this and we wouldn't listen. Most people won't listen. And most preachers are preaching this warning. This is a serious, serious passage right here in Luke 21, part of the Olivet Discourse. And so are these other parables as we get into them. Like Noah and his family entered the ark under their own strength, means their own foot power, those who enter the ark of Christ must be meticulously caught up by Christ into the air. Or must be miraculously caught up by Christ into the air. Excuse me. Once aboard Noah's ark, there was a seven-day respite before it began to torrentially rain. A grace period for at least last-minute repentance by the world, which didn't happen in Noah's day. So what possibly could have happened, the Lord wanted to see, okay, I'm going to put everybody in the ark, close the door, and see if anybody repents. I'll give you 7 years, or 7 days, excuse me, 7 days, will anybody come running and pounding on the ark to let them in? Nobody. Nobody. Now, what's interesting, Wes in our Bible study talks about the instant catastrophe that took place on the earth when those fountains of the deep and the waters in the heavens came down to the earth. It was so catastrophic, so turbulent, that the mass of humanity and everything that was living and breathing, except for those things that were in the sea, died almost instantaneously. The gyrations and the convulsion of the earth and the splitting apart of the continents, everything was so turbulent that the mass of humanity at that time died almost instantly. And they still, how many years was it building the ark? About 100 years, right? 100 years. So Noah is preaching. 100 years and nobody is listening.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.